Now there grows among all the rooms, replacing the night's old smoke, alcohol and sweat, the fragile, massacious odour of breakfast. Flowery, permeating, surprising, more than the colour of winter sunlight. Taking over not so much through any brute pungency or volume as by the high intricacy to the weaving of its molecules, sharing the conjurer's secret by which, though it is not often death, is told so clearly to fuck off. The living genetic chains prove even labyrinthine enough to preserve some human face down 10 or 20 generations. So the same assertion through structure allows this war morning's banana fragrance to meander, repossess, prevail. Is there any reason not to open every window and let the kind scent blanket all Chelsea as a spell against falling objects? With a clattering of chairs, upended shell cases, benches and ottomans, pirates mob gather at the shores of the great refectory table, a southern island well across a tropic or two from Chul Croydon Throsp's medieval fantasies. Crowded now over the swirling dark grain of its walnut uplands with banana omelettes, banana sandwiches, banana casseroles, mashed bananas moulded in the shape of a British lion rampant, blended with eggs into batter for French toast, squeezed out a pastry nozzle across the quivering creamy reaches of a banana blancmange to spell out the word C'est magnifique, mais ce n'est pas la guerre, attributed to a French observer during the charge of the Light Brigade, which Pirate has appropriated as his motto. Tall cruets of pale banana syrup to pour oozing over banana waffles, a giant glazed crock where diced bananas have been fermenting since the summer with wild honey and muscat raisins, up out of which this winter morning one now dips foam mugs full of banana mead, banana croissants and banana creplach, banana oatmeal and banana jam and banana bread and bananas flamed in ancient brandy Pirate brought back last year from a cellar in the Pyrenees, also containing a clandestine radio transmitter. The phone call, when it comes, rips easily across the room. The hangovers, the grab-assing, the clatter of dishes, the shop talk, the bitter chuckles, like a rude metal double fart. And Pirate knows it's got to be for him. Bloat, who's nearest, takes it. Forkful of bananas glacé, poised fashionably in the air. Pirate takes up a last dipper of mead, feels it go valving down his throat as if it's time. Time in its summer tranquility, he swallows. Your employer. It's not fair, Pirate moans. I haven't even done me morning push-ups yet. The voice, which he's heard only once before, last year at a briefing, hands and face blackened, anonymous among a dozen other listeners, tells Pirate now there's a message addressed to him waiting at Greenwich. It came over in a rather delightful way, the voice high-pitched and sullen. None of my friends are that clever. All my mail arrives by post. Do come collect it, won't you, Prentice? Receiver hits cradle, a violent whack, connection breaks, and now Pirate knows where this morning's rocket landed and why there was no explosion. Incoming mail indeed. He gazes through sunlight's buttresses, back down the refectory at the others, wallowing in their plenitude of bananas, thick palatals of the hunger, lost somewhere in the stretch of morning between them and himself. 100 miles of it, so suddenly. Solitude, even among the meshes of this war, can when it wishes so take him by the blind gut and touch as now possessively. Pirates again, some other side of a window, watching strangers eat breakfast. He's driven out, away, east over Vauxhall Bridge in a dented green Lagonda by his batman, a Corporal Wayne. The morning seems to grow colder the higher the sun rises. Clouds begin to gather, after all. A crew of American sappers spills into the road, en route to clear some ruin nearby, singing, "It's colder than the nipple on a witch's tit, colder than a bucket of penguin shit, colder than the hairs of a polar bear's ass, colder than the frost on a champagne glass." No, they're making believe to be Narodnik, but I know they're of Icy, of Codnuro. His men of the League, they kill for him, they have oath. They try to kill me, Transylvanian Magyars, they know spells, at night they whisper. Well, here comes Pirate's condition creeping over him again, when he's least expecting it as usual. Might as well mention here that much of what the dossiers call Pirate Prentice is a strange talent for, well, for getting inside the fantasies of others, being able actually to take over the burden of managing them, in this case those of an exiled Romanian royalist who may prove needed in the very near future. Why won't it stop?